This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition, presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL Radio Broadcast Partners, and Easton Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Coming up, the first Denny's WHL Player of the Week of the new season is Jay Merkley of the Swift Current Broncos. He'll be our guest. Well, WHL has some new rules to watch out for this season. The Vice President of Hockey for the WHL is Richard Dirksen. He'll have a rundown for us. And a big year in Brandon. We'll hear from NHL top prospect and Wheat Kings defenseman Ryan Pilon. Well, Jay Merkley opened up his WHL season with 5 goals and 2 assists in a pair of opening weekend wins. He's the Denny's WHL Player of the Week and sat down with Sean Mullen.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Jay, WHL Player of the Week in the first week of the regular season. What's it feel like to get that kind of honor?
I mean, obviously, it's a huge honor. I got fortunate enough to get out to the hot start that I did. And, you know, I owe it to my teammates playing with some great players. They're setting me up, obviously. And, you know, it's just been fun. Good way to start the year.
Well, take us through the weekend. How did you feel about the 2 games? Did you feel any different, like you were at another level than you have been? Were pucks just going in? What was sort of your perspective?
I think I just get more and more confident as my time here in Swift Current goes along. Playing with some, obviously my line mates have really elevated their game, and everyone on our team has over the last year. So I think it's just a great way to start the season, and for me it's been just like a dream come true.
Well, you go from when you first came here, you played a lot with Adam Lowry. Last season played a lot with Graham Black. Now you're the veteran on your line, and how is that a little different playing with sophomores like Jake DeBrusk and Glenn Godden versus being the guy who is maybe sort of learning from the veteran?
I guess I try to be a good example for them, but the way I see it on our line, we'd all just feed off each other. I mean, we just try to pump each other up and make good plays with one another. So we've had some great chemistry, and we're obviously we're turning into really good friends away from the rink too. So I think that's a huge part of it.
Well, you've got a lot of skill on that line. So is it easier to make skilled plays when you've got guys who kind of think the same way about the game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can tell watching both Jake and Glenn play. They're just unbelievable talents. They're going to be sure they'll get drafted this year. But, playing with guys like that, it's always a treat, right? They can sometimes do things that other players can't, so that's always been nice.
We've talked about this before. When you first came to Swift, your confidence was low. Your love of the game wasn't where it was. Was it close to you not wanting to come back, and how did you turn that around?
Yeah, you know, I think I thought about it. In the end, I obviously was going to come back and play hockey. But working with guys, I mean, Lammer's been awesome to me here. He's helped me get my confidence back. He's relied on me. He's helping me trust myself out there and believe in myself. So, I mean, as far as that goes, I think Lammer's definitely the biggest influence on me getting back to loving the game as much as I do right now.
The coaches in each of the last 2 training camps have remarked upon how good a shape you've come in each year and, you know, making progress that way all the time. And you talked about that, but you've also talked about in the summer trying to not just think about hockey all the time and maybe refresh yourself. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think sometimes hockey becomes overwhelming and too much, and guys stress out about it too much. I try to get away from that. Summertime, it's about getting ready for the upcoming season, obviously, but it's also about having fun and hanging out with your buddies and doing things you can't do during the winter months. So, I mean, every summer I have a great time, but I also work hard and try to get ready for camp.
Lastly, your thoughts on this group for this season. A lot of excitement around this community about what the Broncos can accomplish. What's your take on what you've seen here so far and what you think this team can do?
I think we got an exceptional group of guys here. Not only good hockey players, but one of the just most solid just group of guys that I think I've ever been around on a hockey team. Lots of talent, little bit of everything on our team. Guys have definitely stepped up their games from last year, and the rookies look solid too. So, I mean, it should be an exciting season.
Thanks a lot, Jay. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The WHL's Vice President of Hockey is Richard Dirksen, and he joins us on this week's show to talk about some rule changes that have come into the Western Hockey League, modeled more after the NHL version of the rules, which made some changes. First of all, Richard, I guess that's just where it stems from, is a move to emulate the NHL rules.
Yes, there's actually the two aspects. Certainly we want to be as similar to the NHL and their rules as we can be. And by saying we, I'm really talking collectively the Canadian Hockey League. Wherever possible, we try to have our league rules similar. Obviously, the three champions and the host team are going to meet in the Memorial Cup, and the more rules that are the same, the easier it is for the competing clubs there.
All right, let's go over some of the changes that were made. And I think we noticed in the preseason an attempt at a rule change, but we'll talk about that and also some new regulations for overtime in a shootout.
Well, first of all, the NHL has adopted what we thought was a pretty good idea to do a dry scrape of the entire ice prior to the 5-minute sudden death overtime, as opposed to doing a quick scrape of the middle of the ice prior to the shootout. So we were fortunate that we were able to experiment with that in preseason games. Unfortunately, it didn't go quite as well as we anticipated that it might. We have approximately half of our buildings have two Zambonis and the other half have one Zamboni, so certainly there's a time difference there. We also found it was a little longer, even with two Zambonis, than what we envisioned. So we've reverted back to what we've done the previous years. We will continue to go straight to the 5-minute sudden death overtime following a 2-minute break after regulation time. Should the game still be tied after the overtime period, we will then do the dry scrape through the middle of the ice, similar to what we've done in the past, and then follow that up with a shootout.
And when we get to overtime, switching of the ends is something new for fans to watch out this year.
Again, I think that's a very good idea. The NHL is instituting that as well. And the whole idea is in overtime will be like the second period where the teams have the long changes from their bench. So the idea is that hopefully there'll be a few more mistakes made in the overtime period. Consequently, we may get a few more games determined in the overtime as opposed to going to the shootout.
And if it does go to the shootout, there's also been a slight change there as far as what's deemed an legal and illegal shot, I guess.
Yes, again, the NHL decided that the spinorama move should not be legal any further. The Canadian Hockey League has also adopted that, so fans attending our games, if it goes to a shootout, you will not be seeing any spinoramas, or if a player does try, it will be immediately whistled at by the referee as a non-play.
Yeah, and speaking of referees, Richard, I know that there's a new, take on what's a tripping penalty and what's not a tripping penalty. Just explain the changes here so fans have an idea of what to expect.
This is a rather interesting one, and I presume for all the fans, just like yourself and myself, we've grown up and accustomed to, if a player dives at an opponent and manages to play the puck before he trips the opponent, a tripping penalty will not be assessed. However, that has changed this year, so if a defending player, say the attacking player, is broke past him and is going towards the net, if the defending player dives at him, even if he plays the puck, he still trips the player, a 2-minute penalty will still be assessed on the play. So that's obviously different from what we've grown up and been accustomed to. The only change that comes with that further is that if the player was on a breakaway and the opponent dives and ends up tripping him, it will just be a 2-minute penalty, will not be a penalty shot on that particular aspect.
Subtle changes, albeit, but I know it's always good to go over these new rules and new looks for the brand new season. Richard, we appreciate you breaking them all down here on WHL This Week.
Thank you, John. My pleasure.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by the Western Hockey League.
Well, NHL Central Scouting has come out with its preliminary players to watch list. It doesn't assign a specific ranking for players, but does classify them as A, B, or C list prospects. An A rating indicates a potential first round selection. WHL players with an A rating included Nick Merkley of the Kelowna Rockets, Prince George Cougars forward Jansen Harkins, Matthew Barzell with the Seattle Thunderbirds, Portland Winterhawks forward Paul Bittner, and Tri-City Americans defenseman Brandon Carlo. Branded Wheat Kings defenseman Ryan Pilon is listed as a B prospect as he begins a very important season ahead. Voice of the Wheat Kings, Bruce Lubke, has more.
All right, obviously kind of a important year for a number of reasons here, 2014-15. From a team standpoint, first off, this Wheat Kings Hockey Club looks like it's on the upswing, so to speak. You have to be pretty excited about that opportunity.
Yeah, it's a big year, definitely, with all the young prospects we have and all the guys that prior have gone to pro camps and stuff. It looks really exciting for for us and for a personal standpoint. You know, it's a big year. I want to have a great year. Hopefully get drafted this year.
Acquired by the Wheat Kings mid-November last season, so your first year where you're actually starting here in Brandon, and certainly comfort level has to be something that was important to you coming into this season.
Yeah, that's key. You know, coming into a camp where I've played under the coaching staff and the system here, so you know, just a lot more familiar with their foundation and what they believe in here.
Ryan Pollock's graduated, Rennie Hunter's graduated, obviously, so a couple of changes on the back end, which probably means a little bit more ice time, a little bit more responsibility for you. You seem like you're kind of prepared for that.
Yeah, you know, it was a big summer for me to prepare myself, knowing that Ryan's gone. So, you know, I just want to take in all the stuff that he taught me. You know, I really want to take stride in that and show the coaches that they can key on me for that.
Was there anything specific that Ryan kind of showed you, or was just kind of the way he went about his business that just kind of rubbed off?
I think it was kind of just being with him every day, in and out, you know, being on the road with him, rooming with him, you know, just showing me how he carries himself like a pro and how you got to do that every day to get better.
You mentioned it's a big year. We talked about the team standpoint. For you, it's your draft year, obviously, the 2015 draft. We've seen a couple of rankings, whether it's the NHL Central Scouting Service or Craig Button in the TSN rankings now. You know, obviously your name's out there. How do you approach your draft year this year?
Nothing different. You know, you got to go out there, get better every day, play your game. You know, it's always in the back of your mind, you know, rumors in here and there, but you try not to focus on that. You know, just got to worry about the team standpoint and our development here.
And you got your defense partner, at least right now, Ivan Provorov. You've got Jesse Gabriel. You got Jordan Paprini, all guys that are also kind of being already mentioned for next year's NHL draft. Is it good to kind of maybe go through this process with some teammates?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's exciting times here with with Jason, Johnny going through it last year, and Richard, you know, get tips from them. And, you know, it's good to go with such a great group of guys here.
And that's the show this week. I want to thank Bruce and Brandon, as well as Sean Mullen and Swift Kern, for their help this week. I'm John Keane, and thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL radio broadcast partners and Easton Hockey, a production of NL Broadcasting Limited, Kamloops, British Columbia.